Now you've heard some excellent teaching this weekend. It's been wonderful to be together with the people of God. We've been treated the very best. A lot of hours of work have gone into this conference, and I'm sure we all have appreciated it immensely. And I have particularly enjoyed just sitting down there, knowing exactly when I don't have to speak, and just soaking in the teaching and the ministry of the Word of God, and listening to what God is doing in other parts. They've been a good 3 days for the closing session. I want to talk about the worst 3 days in people's experience and how it was dramatically changed. We're going to read in Matthew 28. Last weekend, I was in Winnipeg at their conference, and there was a large hymn sing at one of the elders' homes after the meeting, and I asked the question. The room was filled with young people, just as it was last evening here after the gospel meeting, and I asked the question, if the Lord hasn't come, and you are well, and you are in the Winnipeg area this time next year, do you plan to be at the Winnipeg conference? And I said, please stand. If you plan to be, if you think, if you're still alive and the Lord hasn't come, do you think you will be with the Christians next year at the Winnipeg conference? Because you know what, dear child of God? If you travel around and live from year to year, people who thought they would be here this year, they're not here. I've looked for them. And you're here. Thank God you're here. But will you be here next year? Think about it. Matthew chapter 28. And Jesus came, verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And this is what I would like to leave with you as we leave the teaching sessions of this conference. And lo, I am with you always, or all the days, even unto the end of the world, unto the consummation of the age. Amen. Lo, I am with you always, all days, right to the very end. You've been hearing about the promise, God's promise to Moses, I'll be with you. And if you knew that he was going to be with you every day, right to the end, wouldn't that give you a cause for going on with the Lord? Can you imagine these disciples gathered with him on the Mount of Olives, and they get this promise from him, this fact? Lo, I am with you always, all the days, right to the end. I don't know how you're feeling. Maybe you heard other Christians say this weekend, well, it's been a wonderful conference. God's been good to us, and he has. And they're happy with the ministry that they've heard. And you're trying to put a smile on your face. You've tried to enter into the great teaching at the conference, but you're just not happy this weekend. You are barely here at this conference because you're there. Your mind is somewhere else. There's a heavy burden back home that's laying heavily on your heart. Your smile is forced. Your heart is heavy. And everything seems so distant. You listen to the ministry maybe and you almost think, yes, but. The reality of my life is this. You try to engage in a conversation, but your mind is preoccupied with something that you can't even talk about. I know you appear to be really strong. We've all tried to do that at times. But really, you're overwhelmed and you're going down fast. And you're wondering if you're really going to be able to make it. The bottom has fallen out of everything. You're not the first good Christian. Notice I say you're not the first good Christian to be in that place or to experience that feeling. Just a darkness that can't be described. And what I've been thinking about is just the darkest day in these disciples, in their experience. Come with me. See a very lonely people. They're walking away from Calvary. It's the saddest, it is the loneliest day of their lives. Their hopes have been absolutely shattered, laying in crumbling ruins at their feet. All their hopes, everything they've lived for, has gone down. And they're filled with despondency and despair. Their reason for living is now a corpse. They're thinking about those 3 years. It seemed like a dream. Too good to be true. We should never have... It wasn't a dream. And they think about those 3 years, those memories powerfully flooding their minds. You can almost hear them talking. They were just human beings like I am and you are. They would talk among themselves. Remember that day we went to the wedding? Man, that was one of our first encounters with him. There, he was at Cana. Remember that? The look on everyone's face when he turned those water pots into wine. And do you remember the feeling? Yes, 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 we're associated with him. He did it. And then they would be overcome with feelings of grief. But look at it now. The look of joy is gone. Everything has come crashing down. Remember the kids laughing with excitement when they watched the loaves of fishes multiply. There were just a handful of them there, and there was 5,000 of us, and all of a sudden they kept going and going and going and going, and the little children were going, Mommy, look! Look what he's doing! Do you remember that day? Oh, how could I forget it? How could I forget it? Never forget those 10 lepers, another might say, as they walked away from him. They looked so desperate when he told them they came with hope, and they looked so desperate as they walked back. Helpless. Remember? And do you remember the one that came just charging back and shouting at the top of his voice, thank you, thank you, thank you, and fell at his feet. Oh, remarkable days, incredible days, days of tremendous joy. Remember our visit to Nain. Oh, that broken-hearted widow now had lost her son. The end of her days had come. There was no hope left in her. And do you remember how our Jesus did that? How Christ changed it? And there was a pounce in her foot and she was walking back into Nain with a big smile on her face and her son alive again. Remember? How could I not remember? And it was... they'd be flooded with memories. He loved the people of our communities. Our communities had written them off. We had marginalized them long ago. But not him. He touched people no one else would touch. He held the hand of the hurting and the sick. He picked up little children in his arms. He wasn't too high and lofty for that. He would go over and he'd pick a child up in his arm. And in the warmth of his embrace, remember that. And remember him crying. I'll never forget seeing those tears as we stood there. He entered into our sorrows. This has got to be the darkest, darkest, darkest day of our lives. The weekend was the loneliest 3 days of their lives. The memories would just keep rolling in. Smashed, obliterated. The stinging reality check. But he's a corpse. We were so privileged to know him, to be with him. Why did he ever call us? Why did we ever have those 2-3 years with him? Oh, I love that day in Jericho. That crowd was huge, but remember when he stopped for the beggar? Oh, and everybody was on tiptoes and they were saying, what's going on up there? Why is the parade stopped? And we looked and looked, and sure enough, he stopped to meet the needs of the blind beggar. Oh, beautiful memories. But that's all ahead now. Memories and a corpse. You remember how he responded when he was falsely accused? I do. Remember the times all alone with him? Remember the time in the boat? We thought we were going down to the bottom. And he just stood up and, can you believe it? He just said, peace be still. And like that, it happened. Do you remember how the waves went flat as anything? And there wasn't a breath of air. The wind stopped blowing. Oh, as you speak, I miss him so much. To see him taken down from the cross. To see him stretched out there, a corpse. To see him put into that tomb, he's gone. Maybe that's what you think. Today all you have are memories. Memories of better days. Sweet memories of days in the past when you enjoyed Christ. Memories of tears. You remember times when you did read your Bible. You remember times when you had to take your glasses off, and those aren't ketchup stains in your Bible. That would be a good stain too if you're reading your Bible and eating fries. But those are other stains. Those are teardrops on precious pages of the Bible. But where are the teardrops now? It's not in the Bible. It's on the pillow. And the Word of God is shut. And you're wondering, you're filled with darkness and despair. You have memories of answered prayers. Times in the past when He was just so real. You remember leaving a conference on a high, getting out in the car and driving away and saying, oh, I hate leaving the conference, and returning to work, but remember singing all the way home, take my life, let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Remember those days? But today, lately the bottom has dropped out of everything. Can you imagine these disciples trying to sleep at night, pillows drenched, sit up in their bed? Was it him? Did I just hear his voice? You say you're making that up. These things happen to human beings. Talk to someone who's lost a dear friend. Talk to a spouse who said goodbye to her husband. She's working alone in the kitchen and all of a sudden she thinks she hears it. And then, no. He's not there. It's not him. The disciples never felt so alone. They had memories their friends and families never had. They enjoyed Christ so much. The bottom had dropped out of the world, crushed, devastated, shattered. It was all over. The hours seemed like months. Day one was the longest day they ever lived. Day two was even worse as the reality started to sink in. He's gone. He's gone. How could they ever get out of bed on day three and live until the evening? How can I face another day knowing that my hopes are all gone? Day three, there's no reason for me to live anymore. Maybe you feel that way today. What words could ever be found to even partially describe the jolt of surprise, the joy that they experienced? on that resurrection Lord's Day. When I get up this morning and as the sun started to rise, when it was bright enough to look out, and I opened the blinds in my room and I said, this was an awesome day 2,000 years ago. Nobody else was in my room to hear me say it. But I just thought, oh, the smiles that broke out on their faces that day 2,000 years ago. They were blindsided. You know, at least they knew that the storm clouds were gathering. They knew something bad was going to happen. They were preparing themselves. Things were getting worse. But I think the resurrection caught them completely off guard. Completely off guard. They were blindsided by unanticipated joy. They get up and thought, this is the worst day of our life. And it turned into the best day of their life. Oh, what must Peter have thought when he saw the resurrected Christ? It wasn't a dream. He is alive. Are you too sleepy this afternoon? Is it against the protocol of the pulpit to sing Up From the Grave He Arose? Try it. Up from the grave He arose with a mighty triumph o'er His foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and He lives forever with His saints to reign. He arose, He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. You know, Muhammad died, and He is still dead. Buddha died. He's still dead. Confucius died. He's still dead. Gandhi died. He's still dead. Eventually the Dalai Lama will die and he'll be dead. Mortal men. But my Christ died. But He's not dead. He's alive. He was raised again from the dead the third day according to the Scriptures. The resurrection is an indisputable fact. Someone stood up this morning learning the English language and read 1 Corinthians 15. If Jesus was not raised from the dead, then the preaching of the gospel is all in vain. If He's not raised from the dead, preaching Christ is empty. Faith in Christ is empty. The apostles, false witnesses. And it was, he went down the list, he's reading it. We are still in our sins if Christ be not raised from the dead. Believers who have died have perished. Not only do we have no faith, we have no forgiveness. We have no future. But then we come to that beautiful section. But Christ is alive. And it's just the reverse of all of that. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Christ is alive. Oh, if this truth could only grip our hearts as we leave this conference, that our Christ did not go down to defeat. He is the mighty, mighty conqueror. And we are identified with Him. We are on His side. We might be rejected in the world this afternoon, and you might go back to school and be amongst those who will reject Him. But for all the eternal ages, dear child of God, we are going to be with Him and we are going to reign with Him eternally. Our preaching is not in vain. It's not useless. Our faith in Christ is not worthless because Christ is alive. It is all true. This is for real. Oh, let the truth grip our hearts. I wonder when they saw Him, if they were just like children who had lost their parents for a short period of time. They just didn't want to let Him out of their sight anymore. Just keep their eyes glued, fastened to Him every time He was with them. Ah, the days of the resurrection, since the resurrection slipped by so quickly. Week one, week two. Yes, John, it really, He is alive. I still have to pinch myself. He is alive. Oh, wonderful. Peter says, I'm not trembling in fear anymore. We're not behind closed, locked doors with our faces ashen white. He is alive. We saw Him again today. Today is day 40. The darkest day has passed. The loneliest 3 days. Flushed out with joy. Now, the brightest, the greatest promise. The greatest promise you could ever get. The risen Christ is with the disciples again. And He commissions them to spread the good news to all the people everywhere, to work to win followers to Christ. And then he gave them the precious promise. Are you going to take this home with you? Jesus came and said to them, "And behold, lo, I am with you always." Those were long 3 days. You thought you'd never see me again. But behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Dear child of God, you are not alone. Maybe you are alone physically. Maybe at your deepest level you feel you are alone, but you're not. Because he says, "Lo, I am with you all the days, every day, every kind of day." He didn't say, "I'm with you most of the time, but occasionally I'll have to take a break and attend to other business." No. "I am with you always. The darkest days, the brightest days, the bitter days, the reckless days. I am with you." Oh, I know we appreciate the fact that the Spirit of God indwells every believer, and that we can't lose Him, and we cannot get more of Him. But at this conference, could you give Him more of you? You can't get more of Him, but could you give Him more of you? You have the Holy Spirit within, but what I was just appreciating, just the references on Christ living inside. He says, "Behold, I am with you always, right to the end." In John 14, he says, "I will not leave you comfortless," or as J.M. Darby says, "orphans," and ESV says, "orphans. I will come to you a little while. The world will see me no more, but you will see me, because I live, you also will live. In that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you." What did Paul say in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20? "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me." Yes, we enjoy the fact that the Spirit of God indwells us, but think of it in this dimension. Christ who lives. Christ who lives within me. Doctrine must be translated into daily living. This wasn't head knowledge that Paul had. Christ in his heart was real. Christ lives in me. And Jesus said, "Lo, I am with you always to the end of the age." Colossians 1, we read, "Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from the generations, but is now made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of his mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." The parallels between Ephesians and Colossians. Ephesians, the great wonder is that we are in Christ. But when you come to Colossians, he seems to be occupied with Christ in us. Christ in us. In Romans we read, "If Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin." Another rendering is, "But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness." Christ in you. 2 Corinthians 13 verse 5 says, "Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates?" The thought is Christ taking up residence once for all in the heart of you, dear child of God. Yes, Paul, I am with you in that shipwreck. AD 60. Yes, John, I am with you on that lonely island of Patmos, AD 90. I am with you always. Yes, Polycarp, I am with you in February 155 AD. Polycarp was brought into the arena. They pleaded with the old man to curse Christ. "You curse Christ, you'll escape death." And that very old Christian man, Polycarp, said these words, 86 years have I served him." There might be an 86-year-old here this afternoon. Keep plodding on for the Lord. Don't call it quits at this stage. 86 years have I served him. He never did me any injury. How then can I blaspheme my King and my Savior? And he was burned alive. The Christians present there said he had a joyful radiance on his face. How could this be? Because, yes, Polycarp, "Lo, I am with you always, right to the very last day. I am with you always." In the 1500s, humble Christians, they were burned at the stake. Those who would not renounce the Lord. How could they do it? Lo, I am with you always. And on this very day, dear child of God, let Him whisper into your ear afresh, Lo, I am with you always. One older saint said, you know, Lo, I am with you always isn't a promise. It's a fact. Whether I can believe it or not, whether I can rest in the promise, it doesn't matter. He's with me always. He's there always. Ah, appreciate it, dear child of God, as we go to our homes. It will change how we deal with our sorrows, how we live with the sacrifices we make. If I am conscious when I'm all alone and no one else is in the house and I'm tempted to do something, to look at something, remember these words, Lo, I am with you always. He's with you all the time, wherever you are, wherever you go. It would transform our lives if this could grip our hearts. Lo, I am with you always. Christ is a resident. Do you have any rooms in your life that are locked up to Christ? You know that little verse that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith? It actually means dwell, to settle down, to abide, make your heart His permanent home. When you've listened to this excellent ministry from these dear brethren, isn't it your desire, Lord, I open up every compartment of my life. I open up every room. I swing it all open. Come in, house clean, and take control of my life. Imagine them as they go out to the Mount of Olives, come to Bethany. He lifts up His arms. He starts to bless them. His eyes are radiant with love. They watched His every movement. Their eyes are fixed on Him. They know something is about to happen. They're beholding Him. The thought is intently they're beholding Him. And then all of a sudden, He starts to go up, up, up. His feet are no longer touching the planet to which He came to die upon. Up He goes. He's going up. A real man in a human body, defying the laws of gravity, going up. And they're watching intently as He goes up. And then a cloud receives Him out of their sight. And they're continuing to stare at the sky. And over there, materializing in their presence is an angel. And He says, they say, why do you keep looking up? Why do you keep looking up? This very same Jesus who's gone up, He's coming again. He's coming again. Dear child of God, Christ is coming again. He is coming again to pick us up. And then He's coming back in the fullness of His glory, majestic glory. They return to the upper room. Acts 1 verse 12 says, verse 14 says, as they went back to the little room, Christ had gone. And it says, these all continued with one accord. We were talking yesterday about continuing steadfastly. The same word, continued. Why wouldn't they continue? Why would they ever call it quits now? Why would they ever throw in the towel? They have a reason for living now. He is alive. And this short space of time is so temporary. And everything in it is tinder for the fire. Live for a life of eternal significance. Live for Christ, because we're going to be with Him for all eternity. Everything down here is temporary. And so I ask you again, is it your heart's desire to be with God's people throughout 2009 and to return, if the Lord spares you, 2010? Oh, bow your hearts in His presence. You know, 1 Thessalonians 4 says, the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first. We which are alive and remain, we're going to be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be. Sorry for raising my voice, but look, there is a reason for going on. Get beyond the little trials and the struggles. Or get beyond the big trials and the struggles. Look to the Lord for strength. Lo, I am with you always in the heat of the trial. Some of our trials are really petty. And then there's some major dark trials, great waves. Remember this, dear child of God. Lo, I am with you. Not just the disciples. I am with you. 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 Always. Don't let him down. Don't deny him. Don't cave into the pressure. Don't go in the wrong direction. Put into practice the ministry that you've heard that will transform your life and give you a heart pulsating with love for Lord Jesus Christ.